I'm not sure. I think it's actually Omni. Yes, that's the microphone. That's the 635, but they look very similar, and that probably is that might be the directional version of it. But that's a very good microphone. Okay. Here's something else. If you're using a microphone that doesn't have a pop filter, this is a big pop filter. This is also a pop filter. This is a pop filter. These are very important because if you're outside, it'll cut down on wind noise. It'll also cut down on those pops. And that's something else I want to talk about in case you don't have a pop filter. But you should always go to Radio Shack for like $4 or something and pick up a pop filter because it will also make the recording sound better.
Would you recommend using that all the time, whether you're inside or outside?
I would always, because also it keeps, if somebody spits on your microphone while they're talking, it keeps that off. It keeps your microphone clean. So, you know, you have to find one that fits your microphone, but once you do, that'll be pretty good. The other thing is that people always want to talk right into the microphone, and if they're using words with P, you'll hear that pop. When you talk, the voice, the sound goes in all directions. You actually don't need to be talking directly into it, and if you don't have a pop filter, you're going to hear those pops. If you do something more like this, the airstream is still going straight out, and you're still picking it up, but I can't pop my P because it's coming from the side, and the air is going straight out. So that's really something good to remember, that when you're talking, you can point the mic at your mouth, but it doesn't have to be directly in front of it. In fact, it's probably better if it isn't.
If you had a standard mic like you're recommending, how close to the person's mouth do you have to get that microphone?
That really depends on if you're outside or inside, how noisy the situation is. And you also have to look at the person and see, how close can I get without this person pulling back or getting, you know, defensive? So I would say 4 inches, 3 inches is probably good. You know, if they're close to you, if, you know, they're defensive, you might not be able to get that close, you know. In which case, you want to kind of match it so that if you're editing, you know, you're not going to be that much louder than them. You know, unless you're going to be editing and you can adjust levels, in which case it doesn't matter as much. Any other questions? I think that's about it. I'm going to turn the mic back over to Reem. Here's your pop filter.
Show them this one in case they, and also, like, what does it mean when you have a power plug on a mic?
Okay. This is a Sony microphone that they sell with DATs a lot. It's a Electret mic. Does this one have a battery in it, Reem?
Yes.
Okay, this has a battery in it. This is a condenser mic. It's an electric condenser mic. It'll pick up pretty well. It has an on-off switch, which allows you to power down the battery. Basically, because it's a condenser, and condenser mics always have to be powered. And there are two ways to power it. There's phantom powering if your mixer has it. You can't phantom power this type of mic. Electret uses a battery. You can phantom power like a studio condenser. Phantom power, what you're doing is actually you're putting a DC charge across the plates of the capacitor. And it doesn't work unless you've got that. So if you have a mic and you can't get a sound out of it, there's a good chance, if it's a capacitor mic, that your phantom powering is off or you're not using phantom powering. That's about it. Anything else you want to talk about?
I got a question.
90-120.
Okay. Yeah.
I do a lot of broadcasting from the street with an open microphone, which means we don't have the option of sticking it in someone's face. They will decide their own distance from the mic. And there's a constant problem cars going by and eclipsing the sound, picking up too much crowd noise and things like that, because sometimes they're back from the mic and the mic has to be up or whatever. Is there any frequency control? Is there any control other than just a windscreen that will take out some of that background?
In that case, you'd need something. You would probably need a shotgun mic, which is a mic with a very, very tight pattern, and that might help you. And but I'm not sure. You know, I really, you know, the situation, I've been in situations that were just so noisy. Get closer. That's about the best I can suggest. What else? Okay. Off-axis response. Basically, this is a cardioid mic, which is kind of heart-shaped, which means that if I get off access to it, you'll hear that I don't have the high frequency. So you really have to know your mic and make sure you're not in the null spot, in which case you'll be way down, and that you're in the front, because you could hear that there was a real frequency shift there. That's something to know about. That's really a tricky question, because it really depends on the situation. Have good monitoring that you can hear what you're doing and listen to it. Maybe run a test if you can beforehand to make sure it works. Now, here's another thing. Here's something if you're using a stand, right? Can you hear all that extra noise, right? What you want to do is you want to put something under your stand. Put a book. Put a ream of paper. Put your microphone on a carpet. Now you don't hear it. So you want to isolate, you want to decouple your microphone from the floor or the table. This is a problem, you know. Unfortunately, now I'm far away from those recording it, so I'm going to put it back. Okay. Any more questions? Okay, I'm turning back to Reem.
Okay, thank you, John. So the 90 degrees and 120 degrees are often controls on the microphone. 90 degrees means this is how much the microphone will pick up, and that's very good when you're interviewing somebody. 120 degrees is broader. So regarding picking up texture, it's both directional and angular. But notice that when you change actually the angle, it clicks. So you will get that into your recording. So if there are people drumming and you would like to get some of the of that behind your speaker, you will have them in front of the drummers so that your mic is at 120, and you will set for 120 for street stuff. You will hold it here so that you're not handling it. There's a reason why this mic has a handler, because it is very sensitive. So if I hold it like this and I move it, you will hear it in the recording. So you handle it from here or like this. And you're going to be recording the people with the texture behind them. And then you talk with them and explain to them to turn with you. And you continue the interview with the drumming behind you. This way you will pick up less. Again, street sound, streets. If you're on a curb, the cars are in a certain way, so you leave it behind you and you record this way, and you're walking between the demonstrators and the street. These are little geographic control over what you're picking up.
Is the DAT microphone the only one that has that capacity to change angles?
Any microphone that has a knob that says 90 or 120 can do that. Whenever there's a knob, there's a battery. So you want to make sure that you check your battery. And this is how this one is open. I'll be passing the mics around so you get to look at them. Please handle them with care. They're very sensitive and hence fragile. The most fragile part of a microphone is this part, which is the connection point of the cable to the microphone. I bet you in these $100 things, they think that they're going to do it good enough so that you'll buy it, but hopefully it'll break within a few months so you buy the next one. A good mic has a little piece of rubber that is between the cable and the microphone to protect it. If it's the type that comes with a cable, a much better microphone really has no cable. Yes, may I see this microphone? That's what I was looking for in my bag when you heard me scrambling a little bit before, but I left mine somewhere else. This is a very good practical microphone because what it has is that it's just a mechanical piece. Hence, it's very sturdy and it'll last her as long as she lives unless she drops it in water or a car drives over it. It has three connectors, as you notice, and I'm going to go into cables in a second. Actually, I'll have Errol go through that to explain what is the difference between three cable versus this type and versus the two cables and what it means for the sound quality. So it connects to a cable. Hence, if you have a breakage of cable, you don't have to pay for the whole mic again. You just buy a new cable. And these are issues when you're grassroots radio. Unless you stumbled on a pot of gold, chances are, you know, you have a limited budget. So you want to wait until you have enough money to buy a very good mic before you start doing it. And then you want as many sturdy pieces as you can, and the breakable pieces like the cable to be mobile. So I would choose that over this one.
When you're using a microphone that has an XLR, I'm going to take over for Errol on this one. This is an XLR plug. This is an XLR male plug. Males are usually the outputs. To use this with a mini disc, you can either use a cable. Most of the time what you need is you need a balancing transformer. You can buy these at Radio Shack for about $11. Take a good look at that. It plugs in, and then you can find a cable to plug in a quarter-inch jack that will... I recommend using a balancing transformer. Because a lot of times if you don't use it, the impedance is wrong and the power level will be wrong. And I mean, a lot of times you can get away with it. Sometimes, depending on the microphone, you may not be able to get away with it. I always suggest get the balancing transformer and then get a cable so that you can hook it up. Okay, Reem was going to talk about the different types of plug that you have. You have here... This is a eighth inch phone plug. This is a quarter inch phone plug, and the XLR. Ideally, what you want to do is when you want to go from a balanced three prong system to a two prong system, you want to use a transformer. And now I can't get it out. as opposed to just a wire, because you'll get a cleaner signal. Couple of other things. People always love to grab the microphone up here. This is a very bad idea because basically they're inside the microphone. There's little cavities that change the directional properties of the microphone. So if you grab it up here, chances are you're going to make it more into a unidirectional mic. It'll pick up in all frequencies. And if it's going through some type of a system like this, you have more chance of feeding back if you're holding the mic up there. So always hold it down here so that's free.
So because this is audio, I will repeat. He said hold the shaft of the mic not close to the bulb of it, but rather towards the bottom of it.
Yes, James. Foam will probably be okay, or cloth, anything to decouple yourself from the mic. I think this mic is probably pretty good, right? You probably don't hear too much handling noise.
What you have to be careful of is moving the cable. Like if you hold the cable, I've picked up, you know, sort of static.
Huh.
That one's longer because, you know, sometimes I need it longer, but I sort of wrapped it up because most of the time if I'm just holding it in front of somebody, I don't have that long cable. And sometimes, you know, then I try not to touch it at all. But sometimes if I do, I notice that it's picked up.
Okay, so yeah, you have to worry about your handling noise. Another good reason to be listening on headphones.
I still don't understand. What is the actual function of the balancing transformer?
The balancing transformer allows you to go from a balanced type of system to an unbalanced system.
John, what's the difference between balanced and unbalanced?
Okay, okay. And you're also changing the impedance here. If you have a long distance, impedance is resistance, which it's resistance as a function of frequency. So if you run a system like
that for a second, electrically speaking, once and for all, what makes the sound is a wave. It's an electrical wave, right? That is at a certain range that we can pick up. It's audible. It has an amplitude. It has a frequency. What this means is that it is actually like it's a power, what makes power is the it's the amperage with the resistance. So basically, what makes the sound is the resistance, and the opposite of it is impedance. So 1/ resistance is impedance, mathematically speaking. And the frequency and the pitch, which makes the amplitude. And that's why it's relevant. It's one of the components, the basic components of your electric quality of the sound. So your sound, sorry.
So when you have impedance, too much impedance.
Discrepancy.
When the impedance is incorrect, it's supposed to be balanced on both sides, on your input and output sides. And that way you will get the better power transfer and you will get a better frequency response.
Is that transformer necessary both in the field and when you're going through a board, or can it be controlled in a board in a way that it can't?
If you're going through a board, you're probably going in as an XLR input, as a balanced input.
You don't need it then.
Right. You wouldn't need it. We wouldn't use it there. But if you're, let's say, running a long distance, a cord like this is going to give you problems over, if you're running 100 feet, you'll probably have some problems. If you're running, you'll probably hear some frequency response. You may have a gain drop also, because you have to worry about all kinds of, and you could have also hum induction from power sources going by, by fuse boxes or where you're plugging the equipment in, or, as I said, power supplies.
Balanced. You'll understand this. Talk about balance, unbalanced versus balanced. Let me get you balanced.
Okay. On an unbalanced system, you have basically two conductors. This one actually has three, but we're gonna pretend it has two, which are the ground and the hot, the signal. Right? So basically ground is at some zero reference and the signal is above, and actually it's above and below. In a balanced system, it gets a little more complicated because you have your ground is in the middle and you have signal on both sides. So this is very useful because the cable is also twisted, so you're not going to pick up magnetic inductance from outside as much. So to bring a system, if you bring a system using this type of cable, even if you're using a balanced cable to extend it, it's not a balanced, it's an unbalanced system. This will be balanced all the way to the transformer, in which where you're bringing it unbalanced, so you could run a longer distance.
Okay.
do a darn thing just because you're doing it. What I need to do is get a whole new balance.
Well, if it works for you, stay with it. If you're having problems or if you have to run longer distance, you can go to Radio Shack. This is actually a Shure. Whirlwind also makes some, you know, if you go to Sam Ash or whatever. This is a balancing transformer. It's it says line matching transformer on it, actually. And it goes from low impedance balance to high impedance unbalanced. So it's actually doing two jobs at once.
Okay. She has a mini cable over there, an XLR to a mini.
Yes.
Over there you have an XLR to a quarter inch with a mini. Is that a mini coupler on the end of it?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you pull it off? Does it come off that end? One in your left hand?
Mine comes off.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Now, what is the advantage of this cable over that cable, or if there is any?
It's just whatever your input is. There's really no difference.
Could you run into problems with if you had?
Well, you need the right adapter. So you go to Radio Shack
I'll take this one.
Okay.
Okay. I'll take this one because capturing sound has also to do, as you've picked up by now, with the mechanics of it. The length of the cable, because a cable has electromagnetic properties. That's what John was talking about when he's talking about balanced and grounding, when he's talking about a length and twisted cable. Being that a copper wire or any conductive material has electromagnetic properties, and the sound is made of, like we said, the resistance and frequency and pitch and amplitude. The fact that the cable is not twisted, I don't know if you know how you make electricity. Do you know how you make electricity? Okay.
You have, in a conductor, there are free electrons. And you have a magnetic field. My feeling is that you have lines of magnetic force are spinning in a certain direction. They don't say this in physics books. But the electrons in the conductor, the free electrons, will tend to go in the direction of the spin of the magnetic field. So if you move a magnetic field through an area that has free electrons, the electrons will be moved or pushed. If it's a narrow area like a wire, it'll be pushed in one direction. And that's basically how you make electricity, a combination of magnetic force and free electrons.
And if you have a copper wire that you turn and you move it in a magnetic field, it activates the electrons, so they start running, so you actually are generating electricity, and electricity has a hiss that is audible. So that's why an ungrounded cable would actually give you some hiss into your equipment. And the two wires are actually ungrounded and unbalanced. Think about unbalanced as ungrounded. The other mechanical issue is you have the cable plugged to your mic, and on the other hand, it's plugged into your machine. Your machine, if it's a mini hole, is a fragile thing. It loses its virginity. So if you have all of these different adapters that weigh and weigh and weigh, you're actually weighing on a very fragile thing that soon will start having less of a hold, and you will hear that too. So that's why Errol was bringing up that point. When you have, oftentimes people are like just putting one adapter over another until they reach the end. It weighs on that. And I will say a thing also. You might decide to actually have a very simple mini male going into your mini disc player, a recorder, and then a mini female on the other hand. And then into the mini female, you can plug whatever you want, because if you ruin it, you can always change that little cable. That's a small extension. So that's one way to being a little more practical in the field if you cannot have somebody manufacture that. They're not so easy to find. And actually, I'm still talking with deals with our electrical vendor so that they make a bunch of us for all of WBI Access people. The other thing, of course, is to learn how to do it yourself. But that's what it is. So, again, miking techniques. It's mechanical, it's electrical, it's electromagnetic, and it's physical. The weight, the size, the shape, and your motion all matters. Also think about it. You have this little mini disc recorder and this huge cable. Where is your attention going to go when you're running in the street? And guess what will drop? And guess who will not bring the news story to the radio? So these are things to consider. We touched, I want to show you one last thing about microphones, which is when it's unidirectional, it picks up from here. When you increase the angle, it picks up from here too. And that's another issue of mechanics. So like anything, think about it physically. You're picking up from here. So if you're next to something, it'll pick up from this side. So, and that's again, when I said, when you want to pick up texture, have the person who's speaking, the storyteller, be in front of the musicians and then slowly with them walk so that they are behind you and you're not picking them. These are miking techniques as well.
I just want to add something in terms of these two microphones. Most microphones are mono. They only pick up one signal and it goes into one channel. That microphone that she has is a stereo microphone. That means it picks up distinctly in the left channel and picks up distinctly in the right channel. So it is possible with that microphone to get different levels, separate and distinct on the left side as it is on the right side. If you were to plug that microphone into something that was mono, then most likely you would get away with it where it would work fine. Now, this gentleman over here has a microphone, his microphone, XLR, on both ends. And what he has is a, and that's a Marantz, what he has there is a splitter that takes this mono signal that he's getting and put it in his left channel and his right channel. If you had a Sony D5 microphone, which comes with a quarter inch input, you find that you have a left and a right input. You take one of these microphone cables, and when you plug them in, you would only plug them in one channel normally. And so you would have a recording when you go back on a cassette tape with only one channel. As a default, when we record in mono, we use the left channel. So, and when you come back, the engineer, or you give it to somebody someplace else, they would know where to look for your sound in one channel. And it becomes important because you may go into a studio that you can select stereo, mono, left, or right channel. Those are the choices you have. And if that machine is in the right channel and you put your tape into the deck and try to play through the board, you come up with a blank tape. Or you may go ahead and make a recording and it's only in the left channel. Some boards will automatically mult the signal, and then you're fine. If it doesn't do that, then you have to go through a situation where you patch it and you patch it to dub. And we're not going to talk about reverse and phase and all of that. I'm not going to anyway. Maybe John can't. Earlier, when Josh, you were asking about the picking up ambient sound, and Reem was talking, the direction in which the microphone is pointed, that is the greatest direction in which it's going to pick up the most sound. And literally, you can build a shield around a microphone when you talk in it. And you can do that with your hand as well as your body. And so find the noise source and point your microphone away from the noise source. So you point it towards the least noise or sound source, depending on the recording you want to use. And why a shotgun mic is called a shotgun mic is because it's highly unidirectional. And it also picks up over a longer distance. It narrows the range in which the microphone would pick up. Most mic has a sweet spot, one spot where it picks up the most sound. That shotgun narrows it down really, really good. And you can, and it's a condenser microphone. It's very sensitive. So with a shotgun mic, which they use in, if you ever see a professional video recorder, the ones with the big thing covering it, and they used to cost about $2,000. I don't know what they cost these days, but a good Sennheiser used to start at about $2,000. Nice and long. Have a little battery in it. You connect it up, you point it, and you go. I was using the shotgun microphone with my video camera because they come with video. You point the camera. The camera has to be a distance from where you're shooting. You can zoom in and pick up. And I was using one of those at City Hall. I remember it one spring day, and I had a shotgun microphone. And I turned away from all the sound sources, and I am recording. And I'm hearing strange sounds, but it didn't sound too, didn't sound too bad. And I'm recording away, and I'm recording away, and I'm recording away. And I got back to the studio. Put the tape in, and we're going to pull an actuality from it. I don't remember what the city council man was talking about. This Giuliani was in office, and you could still go to City Hall and do stuff on the steps of City Hall. And lo and behold, in the background, in the studio, you know what was on my tape? Well, it so happened that some bird, some New York City bird, not pigeons, had built a nest in the parapet of in the step of the City Hall. And there were baby birds and mama birds and papa birds and the whole damn family of birds having a lovely conversation on this lovely spring day. And all you could hear on the 6 o'clock news at WBAI every time we went to this actuality, and we had to go to it because it was a major news story. It was like a Friday. It was the lead story, and it was my story. And birds chirping away, chirping and chirping away. And they were chirping. That was the loudest, clearest, audible thing. So when you use a shotgun microphone, be careful. You can overstep the bounds, and you will pick up things that you really don't want in your recording, including birds and other people, stray conversations and other things that you may not hear when you're out in the field, but you will hear in a studio later. So turn away from the birds, turn away from sounds and other things you don't want in your recording.
In other words, listen to what you're monitoring, not just for what you want, but also listen for what you do not want. And another trick also is that is necessary. You need to record a couple of minutes of what we call ambient silence, which means the room sound, the street sound, whatever. Because when you're post-editing sometimes, you need to drop it. Because when I speak now and I'm in the beginning of a sentence, my voice has a certain intonation where it rises up. And then you breathe in, and then you do another sentence. So when you're editing and cutting some things out, wait a second. Cutting some things out of what somebody said to you, Yes, it's part of the job. You got to do it with integrity. I talked before about the attitude. There's also a code of ethics that we'll get into before we walk out of this workshop. But basically, if I say, this is not a good policy, you cannot edit my not out of the sentence. So sometimes to be able to bridge the variation of intonation, you drop silence. Because it's all right if I said, this is not quite a good policy, that you would cut the coughing away. But sometimes by the time I picked up my sentence as a speaker to you, a storyteller, you might need to drop silence instead so that it sounds natural.
But suppose the person says, this is not a good goddamn motherfucker, it is disgusting, it is stupid, it hurts 500,000 people. Policy, okay? All you really want to tell the story is not a good policy, so you can literally cut away the other stuff and the other explanations, and this is maybe things you want to say because you may have said it more succinctly before or even in greater detail, that the policy that will be implemented by the city council will have a deleterious effect on a large segment of the population. And you just want the council person to say it's not a good policy. Then maybe later on in the story, you'll pick up where they give you a better explanation. But no place else did they say it's not a good policy. So you make judgments. There's also something else that happens in a room or in a situation when you match a recording. To come in this room and record a minute or two of ambiance, you use that later when you tell the story. You can use it in the studio with that ambiance playing behind you. You can match your voice to the sound and the condition. So it doesn't sound one way when you talk and another way when you play the actuality. So the story sounds uniform. It sounds as if you did the entire work in that location, and it makes it just that much easier to listen to. John can tell you also, John, yes, you can tell, that by grabbing a minute or so of a room sound, it becomes very helpful in post-production. If this room had a big air conditioner humming in the background, that air conditioner is humming at a certain frequency. And it may be the only noise in this or sound in this room that is at that frequency. And if you have that isolated, then you can give that to John, and he can use that sound in computer or in equalizing to literally cancel itself out through your entire piece. So you want to talk a little bit about noise and noise canceling and cleaning up dirty sounds?
You want us to pass these around?
Yes.
Okay, on your computer, there are certain plugins for certain applications that allow you to actually learn.
Before you do that, John, let me we have two microphones here. We have the Shure SM58, which is the workhorse of microphones. For some reason, they are able to take a tremendous amount of abuse. And by the way, this is what the microphone looks like, at least out here. I don't want to pull it down any further. That's an induction coil in there. Does this have a magnet in there? Or
yes, that's a moving coil system.
Okay.
Which means don't drop it.
But this microphone can really take a licking, and it still keeps on putting out. It has a windscreen here, and in this bulb, in this wire case, it also has a pop filter inside. So when you add a pop filter to it, you're adding an extra one, and it cuts out some of the frequencies and some of the sound that's going in it. Wind is one of probably the greatest destroyer of good sound that is out there that you have the least control out of. The Electro Voice microphone, again, it's a very good microphone. It has less area than this in terms of sound coming in, so it has a little bit of a narrower range. This microphone is the one that this Electro Voice Radio Shack also makes a version of it. Shure also makes a version of it. This one is called the RES50ND, and this is the microphone of choice that you will see on NBC-CBS and it's used in the news. People who does video use this microphone a lot, and it also has an extremely good pickup range. So a lot of times when you see this microphone being used, it is outside of the shot because it will give you a good pickup from a good range.
What's the cost of that one? Yeah.
I got it less than 150
pounds.
Cool. Where? Directly from the
what
was it
from?
Directly from
Electric
Voice. I have a website.
And they talk about it being a they describe who use it and what it's used from. This microphone will cost under $100 and they literally are almost indestructible except some, I'm not going to say some fool because it probably was me, who tried to force the XLR female cable onto this microphone and in so doing sent one of the plugs inside, and now it's going to take a miracle to get it back out as it is pretty fixed in there. But if you look at it, it's inoperable, can't be used. Yes.
Okay, there's another type of microphone that you should know. There's another type of microphone. If you're recording a panel and you have one microphone available, this is called a PZM microphone, which is pressure zone microphone. Radio Shack used to make one. I don't know if they still make it. Crown makes one. A couple of other people, Audio Technica makes one, a nice one that has to be phantom powered. This is called a pressure zone microphone. And how you use this, you have a little bit of it's a ceramic element in this microphone. It kind of looks like a paddle that's gapped slightly. It's a little bit off of this flat piece. And if you put this down on a table, what it does is it uses the whole table as a, not the table itself, but the reflective surface of the table as kind of like part of the microphone element. So if you put this down on a table and you've got a panel sitting around the table, you're probably going to pick up everyone about equally. It won't be perfect, but much better than if you had one mic on a stand, you know, in the middle of the table. So.
And with that, you just listen to them on a test and see if you got what you wanted.
Right. And what you want to do again is you want to isolate the table because this will pick up every, I mean, you know, this will pick up every sound. So you want to put a piece of foam or padding underneath it.
So what about paper? Is it shifting paper?
Shuffling, yes.
Yeah, picking up paper, shuffling a lot. Sometimes you can't do very much about that, but to, as I've said before,
so you know.
Not too much. No, this will pick up all around. This picks up, you know, this is not a directional microphone. This picks up actually in a sphere on top and probably below also. But hopefully, if it's on a surface and it's padded, there's not going to be too much happening below.
How much is a mic like that?
This one, I think, was 125. I don't know if they even still make this model. This was a really good model because it used a battery and you can phantom power it. So it was very, very useful.
Why do you want to phantom power?
Because then you don't need a battery.
Could you repeat the question?
Okay.
Essay style.
Okay. In a condenser type microphone,
why do you need to phantom power?
Okay. Because in a condenser microphone, the gain is lower, one, and
what
you also okay. That's how much level, how much voltage or power it puts out is much lower than in a dynamic mic. Most of these mics that we've seen today were dynamic moving coil mics, and they have basically a much higher output level, and you're not really going to power the element. You're going to power the amplifier. So, because it's not really a condenser,
right.
It's actually
so
a piezo.
No physical,
it's actually a ceramic element.
No physical magnetic field going by a conductor in that mic. It's inside the amplifier.
No, the element actually is a piezo ceramic type of element. Do you really want me to get into that?
No.
Okay, good.
Okay, thanks.
You want to?
Okay, so let's bring it home. A couple of points from Dandan, and then I'm going to bring it home in what does it mean to you when you're on the field reporting? Why did we spend so much time talking about miking techniques? Because this is not what you will find in the manual. And as you noticed, when people speak, even radio people, they sometimes don't speak into the mic. So if your event is a speaker, do not rely on the sound system. Preferably, if you can, put your own machine's mic next to the speaker, and this way, hopefully, you have also a broomstick and you can direct it so that you can actually gather the better sound than what is going on our webcast, because the people are forgetting to speak into the microphone.
I don't want to get too detailed in technical language. I would briefly explain what phase cancellation is in a language as close to English as I possibly can. Essentially, in unscientific terms, it is that when two identical sound waves, either in air or through wires, meet, they tend to cancel each other out. Perhaps some of you have heard this happen before, a poorly engineered mono radio signal. If the phase is wired backwards, you'll hear the signal drop out and come back in a phase every few seconds. Has anybody heard this kind of thing before?
Yeah, and
so have I. You know, an engineer may know what they're doing, but it's a lot like if you drive a car. Perhaps you know that you should keep your hands on the steering wheel like this, but you get lazy. You know, perhaps you know that you should drive the speed limit, but sometimes you just don't. And I don't know, all of this is done by people. And people are not machines, really. Well, we are, but we're not robots. Anyway, I would like to demonstrate a few things about miking speakers. You may be in a place like this without access to a direct line from the mixing board. Perhaps what is going through the board is not, and what's going to radio or recording that way is not the best thing, or what's being done for live sound is not the best thing for recorded or broadcast sound. You might find yourself in a situation for one of many reasons where you want to directly mic a speaker. If you're going to close mic a speaker, something to pay attention to is the pickup field of the microphone. Generally, this microphone does not apply because it's omnidirectional. That is, it picks up equally in every direction. This is a directional microphone. If you put a directional microphone closely on a speaker, there are a few things to take care for.
The room probably has reverberation, which is an incomplete echo. Right? You can hear a little bit of it in almost any situation. And a little bit of it sounds good, and it's natural. If you direct mic, a speaker, with the microphone pointed exactly at the speaker, you're a lot more likely to pick up some not very good effects from the room. If you just give it a little bit of an angle.
So why don't you take it over there and show it to us?
That's what I'm doing. Put it on an angle, just a little bit.
He's doing it.
If I put this microphone in front of this speaker, we're going to get feedback. Right. If you put it just a little bit at an angle, then you pick up different kinds of reverb. Perhaps a little more off of the floor this way, a little more off of the ceiling this way. The ceiling is porous, and there's less reverb coming off of it. Wood tends to reflect low sounds. Concrete tends to reflect high sounds more. Another thing is if you have two speakers in a room, a good technique is to move back in the room and get the entire room sound with a directional microphone, in which case you want to be, the best formula is 1 to 2 times the length of the two speakers from each other. I would estimate this is probably about 15 feet. So if the room allows, somewhere between 15 and 30 feet, that is 1 to 2 times the distance of these speakers from each other, back and slightly off-center, away from where the phase cancellations will occur, because you have these two speakers pumping identical sound, and these identical waves can cancel each other out. Of course, different parts of the room will have different sound. For the most accurate take on what's going on in general in the room, there's a formula. If you're miking two speakers with one microphone, 1 to 2 times the distance of the speakers from each other, and a few feet off center, maybe 3 feet.
We will go, and then we'll explain that much, much more tomorrow, or I think it's tomorrow, during how to cover live events. What we went into is to remind you that microphones are fragile. They are fragile to water. They're fragile because sometimes it rains on us when we're reporting. So be aware of that. That's why Errol opened it to show you all the different components inside. That's why John talked to you about where to hold the mic. That's why if you drop it on the floor, hopefully nothing will happen, but make sure that nothing has happened. Check it again when you go back to the studio. And also we talked about the cables and the connection, which is the most vulnerable part mechanically of any sound system. You want to make sure the connectors are clean. There is like your a crumble of bread in your sandwich in your bag didn't go into your mic cable when you plug it in. You know, dust isn't there, sand, whatever. All these different things affect the sound mechanically. You want to make sure your cable is not too heavy and it's not too long. And if it is, then tie it to your belt. Be inventive. Have a little, by the way, have a little knife, a little piece of paper is a must, a notebook. And a pen, even if you have Palm Pilot. As a reporter, these are your tools. A flashlight. I will show you in a minute a very practical flashlight that I picked up for $18 from EMS, Eastern Mountain, whatever. Because sometimes you have to be reporting in the dark. Hopefully, you're always shedding some light on it. But... we talked also about the connectors, like when you have too many piled up, how it ruins your machine. We talked about external mics. I just want you to be aware of that. Some machines, like this tape recorder, will come with an internal mic. If you have nothing else and you must get the story, you can survive it. Make sure your machine has a hole that says mic in it so you can plug something in it. By the way, your machines have a few holes. One is earphones or phones or headphones or ear. That's what's written on it. Sometimes you have a drawing of the headphone. And this is, of course, the output of your machine. If you want to drop sound from a mini disc to a cassette tape, you will put it on your, if you don't have line out, you would put it into earphone because that's your output hole. And then you get the sound into your sound system to record. Your mic is an input. You also have auxiliary, AUX, which is another input hole. And you also have sometimes line in. All of these are words to say where things go in. So you want a machine that has at least a mic hole. This way, if you're stuck to using the internal mic, you can. But at the same time, you have the flexibility with an inexpensive machine to get a very expensive or a good mic. Let's put it this way. So you can plug into it. Also, the engine on these machines break after a while. So when you're investing in new equipment, be aware of these dynamics. And again, I say, for just a couple of shots, just one event, and you happen to not have your equipment, fine. But if you're really investing in becoming an audio reporter, put money aside till you have enough to get good equipment. The headphones, we touched on them very briefly. I'm sorry, I'll come to you in a minute. But I would like to do two things at once. What I want to do is, the story you're going to be writing is about all of us and about what we do in general and what brought us here and what's going on here, I would presume. So one thing is to also get to know each other. I'm going to pass a paper in which I will write, I wrote my own information. And one important thing is to also say resources. What can you provide to the group? Training, we have audio that you can use for fundraisings of your radio stations. They raised more than $50,000 at WBAI. We have possibilities to providing you webcasting, recording, whatever each one of you has. Write it down. This way, whomever is building the story, you can copy from that or come and talk to the person so that we network with each other and we also empower each other, because that's another thing that you do as a media activist. You cross-pollinate. Now, the headphones, I'll touch on that in 2 minutes. You have different types of headphones. You have the good headphones and the ones that you should only bother with if you have nothing else for this one time and you swear you're going to get better headphones next time. Because again, you got to listen to what you want and you got to listen to what you do not want. And what you want to make sure of is that you're listening to what you're recording and not what you're hearing with your ears. So... yeah.
What's the longest cord that you think is good?
Exactly what you showed me now. Your two arms' length is what I would recommend. That's for when you're holding it in your hand, and then you will have an extension if you intend to go cover a live event because you want to stretch away from it so you can also see what's going on. Because remember, you're the eyes of the listeners as well. And hopefully you're their ears only to identify what's a good sound, and you're going to use your equipment so that their ears will hear the story.
And then what do you do when it's raining?
And what do you do when you're raining? You have an umbrella, and you open over your equipment. Marantz, very expensive recording machines, do have Sunny, okay, sorry. That's another make, but it looks like a Marantz. Expensive recording machines, mini disc players do get ruined under the rain. So you want, or under the sweat. And by the way, also under the heat. We were in Philadelphia recording an action against the Liberty Bell. It was so hot that one of the tape recorders melted. Literally melted, because we also had it in a box in the top of some, whatever. Like, we thought we're hiding it. We're being discreet and whatever. Well, it got too hot. So the elements are very valuable, and thank you for bringing that up. An umbrella is a necessary tool. A pen, a notepad, an umbrella, because the first recording equipment is your brains. The first microphone is your ears, and the first output device is your mouth. So you can also be a reporter by which you're observing things and then you're telling them. You can also feed a story, not just recording it, but over a cellular phone or any phone, by the way. So you want to make sure to first see and hear and know who is doing the story that you're going to bring the news about. Identify different perspectives. It's empowering and enriching. No, you do not want, you do not need to go cover the Israeli perspective in 45 minutes of a 1 hour report, because guess what? Every corporate outfit is recording it. So maybe that time you want to spend a much longer time to balance the news by doing what some will attack you, saying it's an unbalanced coverage. Because your job is to balance the bigger picture of the media. And you might spend more time getting the Palestinian sides and also how all of this affects people here. So that's one approach to also the issue of perspectives and balance that as a news reporter you need to look at. Am I being subjective because I'm Arab to bring you this issue? You bet I am, because every one of you is subjective. Hopefully, my subjectivity and me that like an Arab that has been empowered by WBAI originally and the Pacifica Network to learn how to do miking and how to be able to teach you that, hopefully, my subjectivity will make the big story more objective. Will I be lying? Not. I'll be telling the truth as hard as it drops. But I'll make sure that my people are heard, that the person there that I know everyone passed by but was crying, the woman that was crying when the African-American boy was on the floor shot dead, is heard, because chances are it might be her son that got shot the day before. So again, balanced is to be objective sometimes, you need to subjectively choose how to balance to make sure the whole story is told. On the other hand, if there are some angles that have definitely been missed about the Israeli perspective, it's important that you cover it, Arab or not Arab. So this you also want to make sure to do. Concept, action, and you go back. When you're doing, why am I going back and forth in this workshop? Because that's what you do on the street. You're listening, you're seeing, you're thinking, you're talking, and you're checking your mic, and you're checking your levels. And it all has to work together, and practice makes perfect. Headphones. This is the better kind of the three that I have, because it has a much better shield of the outside. So when you actually wear it, as you're going to be doing when I'm talking about the rest of the stuff, you will notice that you will hear much less of the room. That's a good thing. The next better one is this one with a small cushion. And the cushion are good because they also, by surrounding your ear hole, dampen the outside noise. This is not such a good one. And the one you pick up from airplanes is definitely not a good one. Because besides the fact that, you know, liberating it is not such a great approach, though we have a few, it just isn't good. Also, the size of the cable. This is a bit too short because in reality, I want to try to hold my recording equipment a little lower than that. So that's an issue that you want to consider. So I'm going to pass the headphones for you to try on, and I'm going to talk about the mini disc recording in a second.
10 o'clock?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's 10:15. So I'll talk very, very, very fast about two things. When you're doing the mini disc recording, there is the record button and the play button that gotta be pushed together. I will show you that. I actually will do a makeup session late tonight during one of the breaks, so as to make sure that we cover that. How many here have their own equipment that they're going to use? Can you sit on this side of the room for a second, and this way we can talk for 5 minutes about your equipment. How many wanted to borrow equipment to be able to do it? Okay, so we will approach that also in a couple of like really fast. Mini disc recording, it was a bit ambitious to do all of that at once. Two things also. To do broadcast quality, you do not want to set long play or LP2. Mono is fine, and mono gives you twice the size of a mini disc. So when you just open a machine, it's usually set in stereo when it comes to mini disc recording, and you want to set it in mono for most events. So I'll show you how to do that, and I'll show you how to switch to record and then we'll pick it up because there'll be small mini sessions of follow-up of that, so we'll pick it up from that. If you have a cassette tape recorder, chances are you don't have a visual monitoring unless you've paid the shows you also visually what's being recorded. So that's what I am wrapping up. And so during the coverage of the live things reporting, I will go into much greater details of the equipment. We can do it fast and concise. But again, you can read your manuals for little details. I'll show you a couple of tricks right away. You could never read your manuals about miking techniques, and 99% of the time your sound is crappy and not broadcast quality, because nowhere could you pick up what these people taught us today. So I want to thank them for their effort. And so we have to go. The next one is at 10:30. And what is your equipment? Who's got a mini disc that they don't know how to use? Good. Okay. Any other equipment that you don't know how to use? You're all fine. Okay. I did not get the microphones back. Minor detail. No, you have your own microphone. I had mine that looked like you. I finally found it. Isn't yours here? Your case. Yeah, I really need the microphone. Guys, do you have the microphones?
One of them this way, one of them the other way.
Okay, and okay, thank you. And I got the third one. Thank you very much.
Is this one labeled because?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay, so this is mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice to see you. Yes. Hi.
You would recommend that instead of doing this when I don't need a bigger cord, I should just get a second small cord.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and you should get somebody to build you one where it's mini, XLR2 mini.
I mean, this
XLR2 mini stereo.
In other words, that's the same. I mean, this is
no, this is too heavy on your mini disc recorder.
Okay, so that's what you're saying.
And you would ruin the
whole. I ordered the wrong one, so I ended up getting this to stick on. You're saying I should get rid of this.
It's very tricky how to get these.
You think Electro Voice?
No, not really.
No, oftentimes you have to ask your music store to build one for you.
Oh, because I thought when I ordered from Electro Voice, I thought I could have ordered a
mini. Oh, good. If it's the case, please email me.
Okay.
Our email is wbixclass@yahoo.com, wbixclass@yahoo.com, and we can do follow-ups online. I'm not sure because I'm not doing it.
Okay. You're not the news track. Mm-hmm. The rest of the day. All right.